Anyhow, God bless you. It's glad to have you here. And I'm telling you that the Lord is moving. Praise God. The Lord is moving. Welcome you who literally are joining us on live stream. And I'm just telling you that we are so thankful to be in the house of God. I want you to know that there is a great pastor friend of mine that is here in the U.S. and he's enjoying himself. But he's here because he flew in here a couple months ago. And so far, he cannot leave here to go back to his country. So he's here and he can't see his family. He's not able to preach the word in the church that God had him start in the country that he's a part of. And, you know, I'm just bringing that up to us because sometimes if we're not careful, some of the things that are available to us, we will take them for granted. And, you know, today is just going to be a day where I'm just going to challenge us from the beginning of this service to the end of this service that we just don't take things for granted. Whether it's our family, certainly our relationship with God, certainly the things that are available to us, the relationships we have around us. I just don't ever want us to get so comfortable with things that they don't keep the reverence and the honor of being precious to us. You know, even our family and our children. And, you know, I was thinking this month how God gave me two eternal gifts in the same month that are going to be a part of not just my life here on the earth till I leave, but even in heaven. And that is the blessing of Philip Jr. Woo! Praise God. And Miss Regina Walker. Praise God. Pastor Regina Walker. Baby. Amen. 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 You are first, babe. But I just want you guys to just really think about this and just let this resonate in you today that we don't ever want to take for granted what is freely given to us by the grace of God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo.
Amen. We're just going to worship our Lord this morning. Amen? Are we ready? Let's just take this moment and forget about what's going on around us. Forget about what's happening in the world, what's happening in our week, what's happening anywhere. But right now, you and God is all that exists right now. And just get alone with your Savior. Amen?
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Give mercy on my heart and time and Lord, I can never sing.
Faithful forever will be. Faithful. Jesus is calling.
We thank you for what you have done for us. Hallelujah.
Devotionals this morning, and I was reading the story about the prodigal son, and it's a representation of the love of a father and the love of our God. And what caught my eye this morning was that it was the son, the word says, that had to come to himself. And when the son came to himself, then he returned. So the Lord's saying today, if you'll come to yourself, you'll turn from wicked ways, and you'll run towards him, he'll fill you today with love, with grace, with mercy.
Never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close. And I will rest in you. You're my peace, you are my refuge. Under the shelter of your wings, God, you're the promise I hold on to. You never let
You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close. You never let go, never let go.
Praise the name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Jesus. Honey, you still got to help me get dressed after all these years, huh? Amen. I think you just
there's
like.
Not one time I wasn't touching it, fixing it.
Amen. I think you're just pushing on there for a minute. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. You know what? Before we go any further, I didn't even ask if I could do this or say anything.
You don't have to ask.
So, oh, no, I mean, I didn't ask the person. But I believe by faith that it's okay. Amy and Dale, could you come up here for just a minute, please?
I know, Amy. I'm sorry.
Hallelujah. I know I'm extra. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you just, now we know that you got your procedure right, and but it's been a battle, hasn't it? Because you waited so much through all the doctors and all the approvals and denials, and so it's been a bit of a process. So if you just want to say what's in your heart and what the Lord has done for you and what the experience has been since you've had your procedure. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
I was supposed to have surgery probably about a half a year ago. And I'm not going to lie, I was terrified. Just I think because I watched too many TV shows and I thought they're going to cut my neck and, you know, they're going to move my throat. I may never talk again. I may be paralyzed. Just everything was going through my mind. And I couldn't come in ease with it. And it got up to the day before surgery and I went to the doctor and I prayed, God, if this is not the time, if this is not the doctor, if this is not the nurse, the hospital, please stop it. Because I'm going to go through with it because I hurt so bad. And I prayed, and I got to the doctor, and they came in. They said, well, your insurance denied it. Mm. And I said, what? And they said, your insurance denied it. And I said, okay, so where do we go? And they said, well, we got to get reapproval. He said, I've wrote everything in. I had to. I don't know why they're denying it. Well, Dale's insurance was getting ready to change over to a different insurance. Mm-hmm. And I left it go, and I didn't call. I should have because I kept. I had like 4 months to go before the insurance would change. And he kept on me, and I thought, God, if this ain't it, please don't. So I called, and they said, nope, we still can't get the insurance to reply. Mm. They're not even answering our call. And insurance don't answer your call? Yeah, right. That's what my thought was. So I just left it go, and I kept praying. I talked to Linda afterwards, and she said, it might not be the right hospital, might not be the right doctors, not the right nurse. And I said, that was my exact thought. That's what came to my mind. That was my prayer. If it wasn't right, don't let it go. And then a couple of months after, January came, February came, I started talking and praying again about it. And Dale told me to call. So I'd called. And they said, yep, come in. We're going to set an appointment up.
Praise God.
We'll contact your insurance company, new insurance company. Never been through them. No tests, nothing through them. Went back to the doctor. He walked in, he said, the insurance approved it. He said, but where do you want the surgery? And I said, either Lyme or Findlay. That's the only places, but prefer Findlay. And I was going to have my last surgery in Lima. Mm-hmm. I went and sat with it. And he called and he said, you're going to have the surgery in Findlay. This will be the date. You got 2 weeks to get everything done. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks came. I prayed, God, please don't let me have no pain. Please, please, please. I hate pain. I'm the biggest sissy there ever was. I don't like it.
She might argue with you, but I agree.
I'll face it, but I don't want to.
Amen.
And I prayed. And I told Dale, I said, I'm not even scared. I'm not afraid. I'm not. I don't have no doubt. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm going in. This is the right doctor, right hospital, right nurses. Amen. And I went in. We had the surgery. I came out. They put me on pain pills because they had moved my throat around. But after I'd left the hospital, I haven't been on one pain pill, not one Tylenol, nothing. I am doing it all by myself.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dale, do you want to say anything? Okay. All right. Here, just put your hands together for a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, God. Lord, sometimes things can go beyond the time we see, beyond the time we understand. But when we trust you, Father, you never fail us, God. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. And Father, we thank you for the finishing of this healing process, God, and your blessing. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
I do want to tell you that you are the second person within the last week and a half that has told me that. And this person was 73 years old, a 73-year-old lady that went through surgery. Things removed in her thing. But I think it's laparoscopic. And I've had laparoscopic done, so I know that it hurt. The wounds heal. It hurt. Same testimony that you had. And so that's for somebody to know that God can do all things. There's nothing impossible with him. He can help you. And Amy, we're excited for you. That that's no pain.
We have another testimony similar in the next week or two where someone who's been on a long-term battle has actually received a finishing work from the Lord. So we can't wait till that comes out. Praise God.
Amen.
And that person's very talkative, so.
Amen.
Can't wait to hear their story.
Maybe they will now.
Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. There's all going on back there, too. So it could be interfering. Yeah. I don't know, but we'll try it.
Praise God.
Okay, so to get through announcements, we do have Pastor Ben Natuka. He is from Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, and so he'll be with us this next Sunday. Not this Sunday, July obviously 4th. Not today. Yeah. July 4th. So that'll be exciting. I tried to tell him. He asked if he could come. We said, sure, but it's kind of a holiday for us. You know, it's kind of a big deal for America. And there might not be a lot of people there because a lot of people go on vacation this time. Like you see today, there's a lot of people on vacation. That's just when a lot, we used to do it too when you you worked in the factory. And that's when they shut down. And so that's when we went on vacation. So, but we're going to be excited to have him here. He always has a good word. He's always full of the word.
Amen.
So we're excited for him. And then July 22nd, we have Christy Amico. We've went over that. VBS is going to start, is going to be July 25th through the 29th from 6 to 8:30. And I believe we have a meeting on July 11th, right after service. I'm telling you, Jesus helped my brain.
Amen.
Look, Jesus can do all things. There ain't nothing impossible with him. Now, you know that was a miracle.
Amen.
And the theme for the VBS is The Marvelous Zoo, an amazing showcase. Of creation and identity.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I forgot the word creation here.
Wow.
Just boy, that quick.
A deep little, that is
no,
a deep
in the name of Jesus, it can't go away. Keeping my miracle. Amen. And then we just pump. For middle school is July 9th through 11th. That is an online registration as well as high school pump. That's from July 22nd to 24th. Today is your deadline to get your teens registered for that or preteens registered for that. If you have any questions at all, please see Philip. He is over our teens, so he'll be happy to answer any questions that he can. If he's not able, he'll get back with you with an answer. Amen? And then... today after service, if you're helping with the women's conference, I ask that you stay. We're going to try to get some stuff on the books of what we're doing and how it's going to work and start that process, start getting some structure to it. Seek and find for Kenton, we're going to have that here August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And we have done 2 weeks with the Botkins campus. This is their third and final week tonight, tomorrow night, and the following night, 6:30 tonight, 7 and 7 the next two nights. And it's been an amazing time. It's just an hour and a half of worship before the Lord. You just getting before the Lord, and it's your worship time. And it's been amazing. So we're going to have that August 1st, 2nd, 3rd. And it is also fasting as well.
Amen.
So fasting and seeking the Lord. And then if you would like to be part of our outreach team that goes out witnessing to people, Jason Kearns is out right now in the hallway.
He has a nice Hawaiian shirt on today.
Hey, that was a good way to stand out today. Yes. So please see him. Let him get your name down because we're going to soon, as soon as we can, get training. And then we're going to go out to the streets. It's time to get back out on the streets and start telling people about Jesus. Amen?
So
Jesus is coming and we want to take as many with us. It's more about Jesus than it is about church attendance at this point. Amen? Jesus is coming. It's always been about Jesus, not at this point. It's always been about Jesus. So we want to go get these people, and we want to plug them in to a place where they keep growing in Jesus, but we want to get them saved.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
I think that is what?
You think that's it, baby? You got it? Amen. Well, you just did a great job. And I was actually kind of quiet, wasn't I?
Well, you did a great job.
What? Is that me?
Yeah, it's you.
No, it can't be.
It's him, right, Trey?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Here. Praise God. Well, we are going to go ahead and release Pastor Jared and all these amazing kids.
Just go ahead and turn him off, Trey. I'll give him mine. My mic. It's you. Just announce it. Just do your announcement.
Praise God. Well, right now we are going to have a great man of faith and power come up and do the offering, Brother David Shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me get the
I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to be able to do this in the house. Thank you. Like everybody else, my message has changed. It changed this morning on me. Sorry about that. But I'm going to go to Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. It says, honor the Lord with my substance and with my first fruits and thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine, vines of wine. When we tithe in offerings, we don't understand that it ain't always just a financial thing that comes in. You go and you'll have sales, you'll get stuff on discount, you have other things come in. When I first started, now I got one more scripture here, but I got to ask Pastor something. What all is on that paper, Pastor?
Nothing other than your first scripture.
Okay, what that means? It's a clean sheet. I was tithing the wrong way. I was doing it for myself, saying, oh, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. I wasn't honoring God for it. So my last scripture is Proverbs 13. Happy is the man with the, sorry, I can't hardly see you. Find the wisdom in the man that getteth understanding. I finally got an understanding of the tithing, how to tithe, honor God, not myself. So that's basically all I got. I know it's short and sweet. I was supposed to do Malachi, but God told me not to. And he goes, but everybody needs to hear repetition so they need to be able to hear it. So you can go ahead and bring the buckets up. That's, sorry, it's short and sweet. Father, we just thank you today for this offering. Father, we just bless it. And increase anybody that's given, Father. And if they can't, just let them come up and put in what they think they want to put in so they can get it, Father. We just pray for our troops, Father. It's overseas. And everybody that can't be here, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we go further, we have a prayer request. Father, we just put Amanda and her family before you, Father. And Lord, we pray, God, for Amanda Bacon and her family and the things that they have going on, Father, that, Lord, supernaturally, even right now, God, you are helping, you are touching, you are moving, you are bringing them through, God. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You know, last week we were talking about the fact that the Bible says that as who we are in our humanity, you know, we desire to do good to our own children. And then that same scripture says, even how much more so then does your Father desire to give us the Holy Ghost and to give us good gifts and to give us good things on this earth. And, you know, I really want to hold us accountable because I want to make sure that through this season of what we've been through and in life and in all the things that's been going on the last year or so, I want to make sure that we have not lessened our faith, our hope, and our belief for what God can do in any area of our life. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about just the things that God will supernaturally do for us when we open up our heart and we believe him, you know, just for something amazing to happen. And you know what's amazing is I was just going to tell you one little story that happened here in our own household of faith, and it might not seem like a super big thing, but it is a great thing. because it's just going to demonstrate God's willingness to be involved in every part of our life. And also, I want to say that I was excited this morning because I said, man, we are really, truly becoming a family of faith, because we were praying for people that are going on vacation and not going to be here and things like that. And it was amazing because two families that are on vacation each sent me a message, praise God, today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I guess my head has to follow my microphone so we can get everything done right. But I thought it was amazing because two families that are not here today sent me a message and saying, Pastor, we're believing God for salvation, for deliverance. Another family said, we're believing God for miracles and for people being touched today in the house. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I said, you know, it's so amazing because, of course, we're praying for people to travel safe and have a safe trip. But I thought it was amazing that here people are out about on their vacation, but it's not just about them anymore. They're taking the time to honor and represent and invest in others and in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so as these things were unfolding, I was thinking back a couple weeks ago, last month or so, when Miss Alicia gave her testimony about her husband's wedding ring being returned. And I thought, man, that's amazing. But here's what was so profound. I thought it was them and their own daughter at the playground. Here it was a year later, and it's kids in the age range of her daughter that know them. And the one girl found the ring, and the other girl said, hey, I think I know whose ring that is. So it was not adults. It was not even Steve and Alicia and their family there. Children that knew their daughter. See, I don't think we understand the covenants that God really has with us. And I really want to just expand our hope and our thought that we understand that the salvation that is in us can do far more than what we believe. And so today I just want to remind you that last week we were talking about how the Father himself is in the Word. It says, how much more so will your heavenly Father? You know, and what I want to remind you of is that we took a few minutes to talk about towards the end a particular scripture that I want to go back to today, and it's in the book of Ephesians, praise God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes understanding, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, I want you to truly understand that today is a day where we really start giving things to God. I don't care if it's anxiety. I don't care if it's hurts and wrongs from the past. I don't care if it's abuses that we've went through. I don't care if it's wrong decisions that we've made. I don't care if it's wrong relationships that ended up hurting us instead of helping us. I don't care what the guilt, what the pain, what the shame, what the difficulty has been. It is time for us to truly understand the love of God. I want you to know something, that the Lord does not want you to live this life just getting by. The Lord does not want you to just suffer along and hope that he will accept you in the end. The Lord wants you to walk in the fullness of his redemption. It says that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. That means that in every dimension of the fullness of what God would like to do. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, it is time for us to ask God to restore things to our life that might even be beyond our ability to believe for. You know, it's just like Amy with being healed. It's not enough for us to have a procedure and be thankful that our pain is better. It's time for us to have faith that God will restore us to the fullness of healing and health as though we had never been through something. Come on, amen. I want you to know that God is speaking to me about the fact that he can restore things to a fullness that he wants you to really believe for. And I want you to know something, that it's going to be amazing to a young man, because he's going to give such a confirmation to, Lord, should I have said this and that? Because you're going to be pretty amazed at where we're going to end up today on what my primary scripture is. And I'm glad that he told the story of the first prodigal, because I got to tell the story of the second prodigal today. Whew. I'm seeding you for what's coming next. I want to challenge you today to start looking at your life, and whether it's in your finances, whether it's in the areas of your relationships, your emotions, whether it's in the area of physical health, mental health. I want us to start really challenging ourselves to just ask, have I really given this to God once and for all? Or have I went so far, put up my walls, and said, you know, I've tried, and it just hasn't worked. Or I know I'm still miserable, but I've tried, and it didn't work, so I think I'm just going to deal with this where I'm at. Woo! Boy, I feel like dancing a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. Because I want you to know something, that there's a time where I can take you to the Bible of how many times the Lord himself, or he would have others interact with someone who had settled into circumstances that God never wanted for them. I think you'll remember that there was a time where there's a man outside of, I think it's called the pool of Bethesda, maybe. And that place was known for miracles, known for people touching that water and having supernatural moments of God healing. But there was one man who had been there for years upon years, and he just never seemed to be able to get his healing. And the Lord never agreed with the fact that it was okay for him to be there. In fact, the Lord came specifically looking for him and said, hey, are you going to stay here or get up? And the first thing he did was started listing all his excuses as to why he was there and really why he wanted the Lord to be okay with his decision to be there. Wow. I want you to know something today, that some of you are trying to push decisions towards the Lord where you're just settling for mediocrity or less, and you want God to say it's okay for you to stay there. But the Lord is coming to you just like this man, and he's wanting to ask you a question. Are you ever going to get up and live? Woo. I mean, I'm telling you, we have given the Lord our list of excuses and the reasons why and what it's always been and what's gone on in the past and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, we have given that list so much that we can recite it almost better than the Pledge of Allegiance. But it's time for us to recalibrate ourselves and stop regurgitating to Lord the limitations and the reasons why and just accept the challenge of getting up. It's amazing because, you know, sometimes when the Lord would heal people in the Bible, I would always think about this. And I said, Lord, why would you make them pick that bed up that they've been on? Why couldn't they just leave it there and get away from it? He said, because unfortunately, if they had left it there, they'd return to it. Woo! We love to go back to the comfort zones of our misery. I mean, 20, 30 years after we're beyond something, buddy, we'll let it sink us right back into that moment as though it's alive right now and happening to us right now. And we'll just hang out there and remind ourselves of all the reasons why where we're at because of that. Even though God has been so faithful that he's brought us so far from that, if we would stop looking back and really look forward with him, we would remember that he was the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He was there for us then or we wouldn't have survived it. He's there for us now because that's why we're better. But he really wants to be here when we start going beyond what we thought the limitations of life would be. Amen? And so I really want us to just understand that I'm going to read a very popular story today, but I'm probably not going to hang out in the parts of it that we normally do. Amen? You know, sometimes parts of scriptures are preached so well and so much that we will just stay there when I think that, and this is your fault. Don't get mad at me. You know, sometimes when I challenge you and push you, boy, as a pastor, I think, oh man, am I asking too much? Am I pushing too far? Then I have a man like Brother Dave come up here. Woo! And go so far beyond where I'm sure he ever thought he would do, speaking in front of everybody and just encouraging us by faith, that all of a sudden I say, man, this is exactly what we need to do because this is how life is restored and this is how life is blessed. And then for a moment of time, I saw Stacy and him and just the hundreds of testimonies that I've heard in their life of what God has done. I remember one time when Stacy was out of town and her van wasn't working right. And after prayer, whoop, it drove. She came here one day, whoop, after prayer. I remember thinking about where they used to live and where they live now and how they got their house and how the Lord sold a house and gave them a house all in the same day. Woo, God. And so when I start thinking about these things and I think about and I just look out and I see where you were and where you are today, I can't help but join in with the Lord and think that he who has begun a good work will continue to perform it. I can't help but remember that the Lord says in his word, I am the author of your faith. And the finisher of your faith. And I really want you to know that sometimes the Lord authors our faith and builds us and builds us and builds us just like he did for Jesus. You know, we act like we're so different from the Lord, but remember that you can go back to Luke chapter 2, 49, and it'll tell you that Jesus grew in favor with God and man. In other words, as he matured, the authority of God increased in his life. He had the fullness of authority when he was born as a child. But the execution of that authority continued to just come forth. And you have the fullness of God's authority when you're saved. But you're exercising and growing in the knowledge and the goodness of God, and your willingness to use faith will increase your authority on the journey. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. I want you to know that I really believe that the Lord is speaking to many of us, saying it's time for us to get on the path of finishing your faith. When the Lord came up to blind Bartimaeus and said, "What can I do for you?" Blind Bartimaeus threw his coat of blindness off when he was still blind. But basically he was saying, "Lord, I've loved you and thought of you even in my blindness, but now if I get the fullness of my healing, I'm going to really live for you." And I want you to know that the Lord is ready for us to take on the fullness of our healing so we can really live for him. Amen? So with that being said, I'm going to step into this message that I have for you. I thought you were doing that. No, we're just getting started good. Praise God. But I want to just share something with you. And I don't know if I quoted this before. I have it written down like I have. But if I haven't, I just want to say it to you today. I want you to remember that crisis reveals leadership. God is not going to shield you, but anoint you to walk through things. Oh, did you hear me this morning? See, I got to tell you this kind of stuff because if you believe that you're going to live a life of faith without challenge, then the enemy's going to set you up for times of battles where he is going to try to take authority over your life and act as though you are not God's, you are not pleasing to God, you're not working with God just because you're going through a battle. And I need you to understand something, that is never going to be true. The Bible says that in this life, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That means that you're not just going to have one battle in life. You're going to have battles come. But what I want you to understand is the Lord will anoint you with such authority that you can walk in the peace in the middle of a battle. Amen. We can remember that the Lord says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I tell you what, if you feel like the devil has been tormenting you, why don't you just torment him and keep some peace around your life in the middle of a storm and a struggle? Why don't you just take after your example in Jesus and go ahead when the storm's raging and just go ahead and sleep and have peace in the middle of the storm, saying, "No, devil, the Lord promised me that we're going to the other side, so there's nothing you can do to stop me." So in the middle of intensity, instead of me being broken and emotional and filled with fear and filled with devastation, even though the battle is strong, I'm going to cast my care upon the Lord. And during this season where I can't see him, I'm still going to believe him. And during this season where I can't see physically what God is doing, I'm going to believe in the supernatural spiritual realm that he's working so hard on my behalf that I'm going to take my ease in the battle. Woo! Praise God. I want to remind you that many times in scriptures you're going to find that the Lord gave a word and people began to move. And in that word, it's what brought the supernatural into the physical realm. Man, could you remember walking around the walls of Jericho? You know, I was walking outside just yesterday and I thought, man, it's hot out here. And here I was having a great day at some event I was at. I'll have to tell you about that later, hallelujah. But anyhow, I was having a great day, and the sun was beating down. And I said, man, you know, we had to walk a little distance to get there. And here I am at a sporting event. And your crazy pastor had the thought, boy, here I am walking through the hot heat for something I can see and hear. I said, how did those guys walk around the whole city every day, and then on that last day, not once but seven times? Boy, those walls are tall. Look how thick they are. Wow. Hallelujah. But they walked around and praised God. And when the time came to give a shout, even with that which was impossible and supernaturally in the physical natural realm, too big for them to have any power and authority over, their willingness to not give up and press in and believe God was enough to overcome every circumstance in their way. Whew. Praise the Lord. I think I get to live now, because who would have known what my reaction would have been if I had to walk through the Red Sea when it was parted. Whew. I mean, I'm not so good with a lot of deep water anyway. Hallelujah. So for me, who knows, even with the sea parted and me being able to walk through and see the sea over there and the sea over there and walk through on dry land, who knows how well I would have done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe that's one reason why the Lord let me live today. Now, the other reason the Lord put me in this generation is for your sake. I have no idea why. It makes sense to God, but it makes sense to God. Amen? So part of the reason why he has us here in this time is because he knew we would be on the people on the face of this earth journeying during this time. So I want you to know today that the circumstances around you, the things that are going on in the world, the things that are going on in your life, listen, they are not too big for you. Now, if you handle them on their own, they're too big for you. But if you will handle them with God, they're not too big for you, because God knew when you would be born, who you are, what he's put in you, and what your faith can do in this life. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. So now, with all that being said, I'm going to get to the final foundational destiny of our service today and of my what I have to preach to you today. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 15. And we are going to hear, hallelujah, the story, hallelujah. And this is not just a story, but I want you to know it's a demonstration of God's love towards us. Amen. And so we're going to look here, and I'm going to read a lot of scripture, because I got to go through a whole book almost to get to where I really want to be. So in the book of Luke, chapter 15, we're going to begin to read, and I wasn't going to go back this far, but just like Brother Dave changed this morning, I got to add a little bit in here by the Spirit of the Lord. So it says in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, and the Lord is speaking, amen? I love it, because the words in red is what Jesus said. So you can't get mad at me about it. But it says here in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, and he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now, the powerful thing is that we know this is the story of the prodigal son. And we know that what's so powerful is that this son did go out, live righteously, but his father never moved. His father served God. His father loved his son. And even while his son was out Now, I do think that sometimes we in the natural need to realize that there may be seasons where all we can do for those we love is pray for them. Because this man was hearing the stories. It wasn't like he didn't know where his son was or what was going on. And I tell you what, it's not like God doesn't know where you are or what's going on. And I want you to see here, though, that it says that he went back and he had to come to himself. And he arose and he had to go back towards his father, which we know that. And it says in verse 20, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, I love it because this is just how our Heavenly Father is, isn't it? Man, he already sees us. He's already waiting for us. And I want you to know that the Lord doesn't wait till you get. I want you to know that salvation takes place often, always, before someone even comes up to the altar. By the time we do the altar, say, hey, by the time we offer them the opportunity to come up and get saved, listen, they've already made that decision. They've already opened up their heart. We're just confirming with them and bringing that to, it says in the Bible, you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Amen? But I want you to see something here. That it says that the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. You know, I love this story because it represents to us that as soon as we come to the Lord, our restoration is complete without limitation. See, this is where I want to speak to us just for a minute today. Some of us believe that even though we're saved, our past still has a bearing on our future. But this should show you that the father restored his son and didn't even say to him, where's all the money you just wasted? Boy, when you get out there and work in that field a little bit, when you get out there and build your account back up, then I'll give you some nice clothes. You can sleep in, you know, you can have your room back, kid. No, no, no. I mean, he poured out the fullness of blessing, restored this son as though this son had never left the household. But here's where we're starting to get excited and where we're going to end up today, because you guys know this part of the story. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things meant? And he said unto him, thy brother... I didn't even turn my phone off, hallelujah. Or maybe it was someone else trying to use it for something. But and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat. Okay, we went through that. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come and thy father has killed the fatted calf. because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, we love to talk about the first prodigal son, but today I want to talk to you about the second prodigal son. And I'm not even going to go the direction that you think I am. I'm not going to focus on the fact that he was angry about the blessing that came upon his brother, who might have seemingly been undeserving in his eyes. I don't want to focus on that. What I want to focus on is what the father said to him. He said, Son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. Now, he was mad about his brother receiving benefits that it didn't look like he deserved. But here is my question. Who was the one that asked for something? And who received something? The brother that went out and went a little crazy. And when he returned, who asked for forgiveness? And who received the fullness of it without hindrance? My question is, what was wrong with the son who was in a good, loving relationship with his father, around him every day, had access to everything, but never asked him one thing? So here he is, working hard, walking around on all that his father has, out there working in the field. There's no limits of where he could go. But he even said to his dad, you've never killed a fatted calf for me. And the dad was like, son, anything you've asked me for, I've given you. If you wanted to have a big celebration, why didn't you just come to me and say, Dad, I'd like to have a great celebration with my friends? What am I saying to you? How many of us are sitting around on a daily basis, maybe praying, living by faith, doing some things that we know to do, but are refusing to evoke the love of God into our other situations that need his touch? Clearly, the very fact that this second prodigal son, clearly the very fact that he brought it up to his father that there were some things that he didn't feel like he had and he didn't feel like he had received, the very fact that he brought it up lets us know that here he is living in the kingdom with needs or desires in his heart, yet never going to the very one that was providing for every aspect of his life. I mean, one thing you didn't hear him say is that he had never had a meal in his father's house. So he was eating every day. He was at the table every day. But he specifically said, you've never given me a calf to make merry with my friends. And the only reason he hadn't received more of a blessing from his father than what he was already living in is because he just didn't communicate to his father what he had a need of. I think the Bible says that Jesus stands outside the door of our heart and knocks, and sometimes we refuse to let him in. The Bible says that you only have not. Uh-oh, what does it say? You only have not. Woo! And then it says, and when we do ask, sometimes we ask amiss. And what that means is oftentimes we've talked about one facet of that is that sometimes we ask something that may not be biblically sound and founded. But have we ever considered the fact that sometimes we ask and then double-mindedness sets in and we start to waver and can't even hold fast until we receive what we've asked for? Because we start having thoughts like this kid, walking in the blessing of God, walking in the blessing of his father, working, putting his hands to whatever he can, doing everything right there with his father, all access to all this stuff around him. And when he asks his father, well, why don't I have that? Why haven't you asked? And I just want to challenge us today to remember that our Father, which is in heaven, if we have done good for our children, how much more so will our Father do for us? You know, some of you, if you've asked God for something, it's time to stop worrying about it and thank him for it. It's time for us to put something in his hand and cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. Amen? And I tell you what, remember, it doesn't mean that everything you've asked for is going to be easy. Because any time the Lord has set someone on a journey, he always encourages them. Remember, I'm with you. Remember to be strong and courageous. The Lord wouldn't tell you to be strong and courageous if in order to fulfill his will, there wasn't going to be times of difficulty. There wasn't going to be times of challenge. There wasn't going to be times of you not seeing things. Yeah, but you don't know how long I've prayed for my child, Pastor, and it's been worse than I ever thought it would be. And it ain't been 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. It's been 10 years, 15 or 20 years. Well, what I'm excited about is your child is still alive and has probably overcome battles that nobody else could overcome. And here you are worried because they're not saved yet. And I just want you to be excited that God is still making a way where there seems to be no way. Your son may still be on the prodigal road, but the point is your faith has been enough to carry them until they come to themselves. And now it's time for us, sons and daughters, children of God, it's time for us to ask ourselves, man, am I one of those people who I'm serving and I'm working hard, but really I'm a little bit discouraged because I have some things going on that I need God to fix. But have you really boldly went before the throne of grace so that you could receive mercy in your time of need? I mean, I think we have overlooked this second prodigal son for far too long because he looked right, acted right, seemed right, but his father said to him, son, everything I have is yours at any time. You know, sometimes I think we forget that at any time we can call upon the Lord. Amen. And just because he's done so much for us, why would you think that there's a limit on what he will do? Listen, I love you and I support you. I have the same mindset at times. Boy, God has done so much that if he, I won't even say it anymore. Because first of all, it's not possible. The Lord is not going to stop. It's who he is. So why would I reject what God wants to do? You know, I'm just going to tell you one more story. And it's just going to be quick. But there's a gentleman of a friend of mine that I know who this guy had served God his whole life. And he wanted something that was just for himself, probably more of a toy than a need. You know, it was a vehicle, but not necessarily something he needed. And he thought, he was just all tore up one day after a church service. And so the man of God went over. He was an evangelist, and he went over to see this man. And he said, hey, what's going on? And the guy said, well, he said, man, he says, when I was growing up, my dad helped me get my first car. And he said, I had it, and then obviously things happened, and it went wherever. He said, but I just found out the guy who has it found out who I am, and before he sells it, he wants to sell it back to me. And he said, but, you know, I'm just sitting here praying and saying, God, oh my goodness, can I really get this thing? Or would that be about me and not you, and going through all the over-spiritual stuff we do sometimes? And this man just said, well, I got a question for you. Is getting this vehicle back going to stop you from doing what you do? Because this guy was involved in missions. This guy was giving money, working, doing all this stuff for the church. And he said, well, no. He said, in fact, I might drive it to church sometimes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he was just saying, well, is this going to make you stop tithing? And the guy said, oh, no. He said, man, I've worked my whole life. I got plenty of money. He said, to be honest, if I spent this money, the guy's giving me such a good deal, I probably wouldn't even really notice it. It's not like it's really touching anything. And this guy said, then why don't you live in the liberty of understanding that God says, I sanctify you, Holy Spirit, soul, and body, and that God cares about every dimension of our life. See, I want you to know that the Lord does care about you spiritually. And above all things, he wants you saved and going to heaven. But I also need you to know that it was God's idea for us to eat. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! And it doesn't have to be a nasty experience, praise God. In fact, it can taste good. Woo! Praise the Lord. But God wants you to have relationship. God wants you to have vacation and rest. And God wants you to have vocations in this life that give you joy unspeakable and full of glory upon the journey. Amen? Amen? So let's just make sure that today, that yes, we've talked a lot about the first prodigal, but let's make sure that we sign up to not be the second prodigal either. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we declare your glory, God. God, we declare your greatness, Father. And Lord, even today, God, Lord, I think about people who have been on journeys, Father. And Lord, it wasn't just 6 months. It wasn't just a year or two, Father. Sometimes it might take years for something to happen. But just because we haven't seen it in the natural yet does not mean that we should ever give up on what's being done in the realm of what we cannot see. Because in due season, God, we shall reap. We shall see it. We shall receive a harvest in due season if we just don't give up and if we don't grow weary. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, before we go, I just want to ask, is there anybody here who's not saved or who has not given the Lord their heart. Praise God. I already knew the answer, but I better ask it every service I try to. Amen. Now, if there's someone online watching, and today's a day, I want you to just know that right now, just like the prodigal, just come to yourself and say, Lord, I'm not meant to live this life on my own strength. Jesus, I need you to be Lord and Savior. I need your help. Receive me now, Lord. Save me right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to know something. That's how simple it is to get started now. Go to church. Come to this one or go where the Lord leads you. But listen, get yourself started and let God do, let the Lord do what he desires to do in your life. Amen. God bless you. We love you. And we're here to pray for you. And I want you to have a super great day. And remember that we're doing a sign up today for outreach. So stop out there in the lobby and see Jason and sign your name up, because especially by the month of July, we plan on having some events to participate in. And I tell you what, that's a part of who we are, is to reach out and touch other people. Amen? Oh, yeah. And right now, remember that the all-important women's conference meeting is going to be held right after service today. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being here.